Good morning. Oh. So interesting topic to look at, the depth of complete purity. Do you think it's an easy thing or a struggling thing or very difficult? Baba seems to think it's easy, we just have to click in and then it'll all happen. Actually, when thinking of this term, complete purity, one thing, yes, is what Baba had said in the very last Muli, but also how the depth or the state of complete purity is really at three levels. It's the complete purity of the self, the complete purity in the task, and the complete purity in relationships. And of course, there are many meanings to purity, but in essence, purity is the truth. It's non-violent. It's naturally loving and inclusive. Purity has this characteristic. Purity never feels that it can be subtracted from, like no one or nothing can diminish what a pure person is. They are what they are all the time. And also like Baba, Baba is the pure being, so nothing actually can be added either. But we are in a state of transition now. We're in a state of learning and transforming and returning and remembering, you know, our original purity. And this is the effort and this is the achievement, and this also, it is the service of the confluence age. I mean, all true service, all service that's going to be permanently beneficial, its basis has to be purity. The effort that I'm making now, it is to be completely pure. But in us, completely pure means also very stable. Eh? Not that there's fluctuation. Not that it depends on an environment. But let's begin with the depth of complete purity in the self. How do we begin? How did Brahma Baba begin? Well, the first step is the recognition and the practice of the palaukik stage. And sometimes we get very concerned with the alaukik and the laukik and how to balance it, etc. But actually the very first step, and the step, or let's say the practice that provides a continuous pure energy, a pure connection with Baba, is this palaukik stage. Sometimes, of course, we call this the incorporeal or the bodiless. And only when we really experience the depth and the reality of this palaukik stage, then very easily the alaukik, the avyet stage comes, and I don't even have to think how to balance it with the laukik. It will happen. Think of Shiv Baba. Shiv Baba is eternally palaukik. He's never alaukik. He's never laukik, of course. I mean, yes, he comes into the corporeal, but his praise, which is reflecting his reality, is the palaukik one. And the palaukik is always natural. It's unprocessed. There's no processes in the palaukik stage. I will, I'm doing, I, you know, it will happen. The Parlokik is the I am consciousness. And this is why when Shiv Baba incarnated, he introduced himself simply in that way. I am the blissful self. I am Shiva. I am Shiva. I am the uncreated self. I am the luminous self. In the Parlokik, there's no past and future. And as we said, in the Parlokik, there's no processes involved. And I'm sure one of the efforts that Brahma Baba did was actually he could tune in to the sanskaras of the Parlokik Father. Because in the sanskaras of the Parlokik Father are the blueprints for all true human relationships. Because we've forgotten it. You know, there's lots of violence, the vices, anger, ego, attachments, all these things. We have lost the ability to relate to each other and to nature and to time and to matter. It's been lost. So within the Supreme Soul, those natural sanskaras are there. And so this is, as a Brahmin, this is what the effort that one does in yoga is, this connection with the Parlokik Father, and then the experience of those sanskaras. One thing is the recognition, the other thing is the experience. Because I, the soul, as I start to experience those original blueprints, I start to remember also who I am. And I start to remember and experience my own original purity. Brahma Baba's effort was this, constant remembrance, no distraction from the Parlokik natural sanskaras. You know, these days everybody likes unprocessed things. You know, everybody's looking for natural food and all of this. But actually, on the level of spirituality, this is our effort. And only the Supreme Soul provides that truth and that experience. And this is why in every muli, there is this word, remembrance, remembrance, remembrance. The remembrance of the Parlokik Father and the Parlokik Self. Because in remembrance, the soul is taking power from the Almighty, absorbing that power, and using it for its own, you know, to liberate itself. Because if we don't practice this Parlokik stage, it's very difficult to get to a stable purity. And the Parlokik stage is the stage to where the soul stops borrowing strength. Because the deep habit of the soul is to borrow strength. On the path of bhakti, we borrowed strength from what we did, from saints, from holy people, from God. Wasn't direct then, of course. And this is why, you know, we just keep borrowing, borrowing, borrowing. But whatever we borrow, whenever we borrow, it always creates a dependency, which is called karmic account. And this is why there's the song or the phrase, mine is only one support. I remember only the one. Because if I really make Baba really just my support, then I will not in any subtle way be borrowing strength, and therefore the karmic accounts finish and the soul is liberated. I can borrow strength, usually if it's from other people, but it also can be from the role, from the position, from an achievement. And sometimes we don't realize how this is happening. But how do you know if you're losing that parlokic purity? If you get upset, if you get disturbed, if I keep wasteful feelings in myself. Now, Baba spoke about it in the Muli. Wasteful thoughts eliminate the complete purity from the soul. So, one of the things that I have to do in order to create that stage of complete purity is really it is refining myself and being in charge, because self-sovereignty is what is the basis of purity. Self-governance. Like Baba was saying, the mind and the intellect are the ministers. I, the soul, am watching. I am watching how the mind is working, what thoughts are being created. Because if I'm not watching, then I'm involved in it. And when I'm involved, what's the next step? I identify. You know, I will identify with that. And then I get really stuck. And when the mind is sticky, there can't be remembrance. And so, in order to create that depth of purity, I have to be in that stage of really observing my mind, how it's thinking, and my intellect, how is it understanding? Because, you know, the influence of the old personality, of the fabricated personality, is always there. You know, and this is very different from the parlokic self. You know, there's the personality of myself here and now. There's the parlokic personality, the incorporeal. And the reference point for purity is always this parlokic. And as the soul goes very deep into that consciousness and into that experience, the first feeling is liberty. Complete liberty. I truly am free in this stage because I am whole, I am complete, I am who I am. And this is so very helpful then when there's the creation of the alokic and when I have to be in relationship with others. Because in the parlokic stage, the natural stage, there are no needs. Does God have a need? Does Baba have a need? Doesn't have a need. And so, I remember Baba once saying in the Muli, don't just sit in front of the picture. Become equal to the Father. Don't just sit in front of the Father. Become equal to the Father. Well, I thought a very significant expression that he used. Because it's very true. Sometimes we just sit and just, yes, take power. Have yoga. But to become. To become is a sign of integrity in the relationship. To become like the Father is really the sign of a very honest love. And so, in the parlokic stage, the masks come off. And then there's only three things. There's the true form, there's the true state of being, and there's the true belonging. The true form, we have heard it many times, the true form is a point. Ever experienced this? Just becoming, everything melts away, time, sense organs, effort, service, just become a point. A pure point, like the Father. And this is very important because then this stops attraction to form and matter. Because where there's attraction, that eventually there's going to be expansion in some way or another. I mean, there will be expansion anyway, it's the law of the cycle, but if it's the basis is not pure, then there won't be a joyful expression, there'll just be a painful entanglement. And very often we are painfully entangled. And Baba says, no, you have to be joyfully expressing your qualities. But to do that, to get that, now, at this particular time, remember the Father as He is and what He is. And I have to remember Him with all my heart and with all my mind. There really is no other attraction and no other need. And even if there is, my intellect understands it's a waste of time. It's not worth it. Doesn't work anymore. So, in, you know, this month of January too that has just passed, as we really understand and respect Brahma Baba's efforts, you know, you understand much more this whole thing of the connection of the soul with the Parlokic Father. And the true belonging, I belong to the self and I belong to the Parlokic Father eternally. In where? In the true home. And the true home is the pure home of, you know, there's no action and there's no processes of thinking. Simply, I am. Sometimes we hear Daddy often saying in the classes, go beyond thinking, go beyond thought. And it's a reality. When I'm connected to the Parlokic Father in the Parlokic home, within the consciousness of the Parlokic Self, I'm not thinking. Simply, I am. There's full consciousness. There's no processes. And then the soul is recharged. It just feels power. And then that creates, yes, the true state of being. This is soul consciousness. How deep and how often must I remind myself of this during the day? Yeah. This is where all the exercise is. You know? The exercise is all in this. Because we do have a lot of knowledge. And each one is cleverer than the other. But it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of very deep truth and simplicity. In the Muli of the other day, Baba was saying that the Father beyond is the most simple. You know, it's clear and clean. Purity is this, complete purity is this, clean and clear and very authentic. Because when we move away from that consciousness, then the old consciousness starts to get in and there's, you know, proving and wanting and, you know, so many other things come in. Having to, you know, affirm it over and over again, especially in front of others. Baba's very detached also. The Parlokic stage makes you fully aware and then fully detached, naturally. Like Baba often says, doesn't he? He says, according to drama, I'm the instrument to purify the creation. According to drama, I am that soul. You know, it's like he fully recognizes himself, because when I fully recognize myself, then I fulfill my responsibilities. But at the same time, I don't get attached to myself. See, the less self-respect, the more I get attached to myself. And the more I am attached to myself, I can't find my true self. I get further and further away. And sometimes it's a very difficult somersault to make, isn't it? To recognize fully my spiritual self, but then at the same time, beyond it. And one very beautiful word that Baba uses, which we take as something quite ordinary, like the, you know, like it's sometimes, it happens with the word remembrance. We hear it, but the wonder of it is not in the soul. Yeah? Another one is beyond. He says, the Father beyond, be beyond. And it's only when I'm in that parlokic stage and really beyond, then the genuine and practical caring and serving of the world can take place. Otherwise, I'm always entangled. My needs, my desires, or others' pulls. You know, others have great need for support. Others have great need for being understood. Others have a great need for that. I'll get pulled into that. And when I get pulled into it, either I get attached in it or I reject it and I reject the people. Again, this, you know, if I'm rejecting or if I'm getting entangled or if I'm coming into a frustration, it's because I'm not remembering my parlokic self, the parlokic stage and the parlokic relationship. So when I'm beyond, really beyond, and sustained by that, and sustained by the Father beyond, the soul then has the consciousness and the spiritual power to serve a world that is totally damaged by impurity of every kind. This is the reality of Maya. There's complete damage, upheaval. Everything has become so fragile. This is what Shiv Baba came into. He came into that world. But how could he serve? Because of his, we can say, yeah, because he was God. But why is he God? I mean, what was the characteristics? His stage. When the stage is parlokic, then that purity can serve the impurity. Otherwise, we become afraid of impurity. Otherwise, we reject it. Otherwise, you know, the people who have it or whatever. And this is why sometimes even we reject ourselves. Because the soul, consciously or unconsciously, feels that impurity. Tries to throw it off, but cannot. And just gets entangled in battle. And the way to avoid battle and to conquer, because you see, people may battle, but they don't conquer. They just keep battling. But the way to do it is really connect, really remember, really believe in the parlokic Father, the parlokic home, and the original self, the original state. And again, this is, it's not something new. You know what Baba told us also was, no, it was not, he has said this before. So what makes a difference is that certain souls really, I don't want to use the word practice because that's a very, it's not deep enough, but they really believe it, they really wish for it, and they give themselves to it. They give themselves to that exercise. They give themselves, they surrender, they sacrifice themselves to that, to Baba, to that one, and then many things just come from that. I don't have to process so much. When there's the input of true purity, it becomes much easier to throw out the impurity. Otherwise, you know, it circulates. Impurity and effort to be pure and all of that. It's a circulating battle in the mind and intellect. And the reason for that is usually there's not been a deep enough giving of myself to God. It's half, even two-thirds. And this was what makes a difference in the level of happiness, the level of contentment. Because one sign of complete purity is a deep contentment. There's not this frustrated desire for, you know, for recognition or acceptance or whatever it may be. There's not this feeling of frustration. There's not this, a very big feeling in many souls is the feeling of injustice or things are not fair. Now, Baba spoke about it the other night, the royal maya, ego and insult. And one big insult that many people feel is, oh, this is not fair. It may not be fair, but me getting upset about it is not going to make it become better. The parlokic stage is the stage of the purest peace, and the purest peace will always give me a very great lift. I go beyond and I can always see the cycle. I don't get stuck in any scene. And the soul understands that with the partnership with Baba, there's this partnership with drama that enables the soul to handle things. Because if I can't take the partnership of drama or time, then again, I will bang my head against the wall. Just get headache. And the soul gets tired. Wants to give up. It's like, oh, this thing of complete purity, it's only for a few. Baba doesn't say that, does he? Baba says, purity is for all of us, you know. Doesn't say it's just for a few. But it's a matter, you know, it's a matter of faith and a heartfelt aim, you know, yeah. Of all my lives, of all my roles, of all my partnerships I've had, this is the supreme one. This is the purest, the truest. So I give myself for this. So the parlokic is really a very quick and easy and deep step to maintain and to keep experiencing that stage of complete purity. And gradually that sanskara, you know, gradually takes over. You know, what we think about a lot, what we do a lot, you know, gradually takes over. And so this is why we're in a state of battle sometimes, because we've done other things a lot and they've become habits. I'm given knowledge, I'm given another aim, and I'm in the middle. Something has to go. And if the soul remains in that parlokic remembrance, it starts to understand what has to go in the self, because it's a personal journey. Others may tell me generally what it is, but I have to know in my personality what is it that has to go. Is it sensitivity? Is it dependencies? You know, some souls take a lot of support from others. It's a different thing. Friendship is a different thing. Friendship is a very necessary thing. Spiritual friendship, you know, to discuss progress, knowledge, spiritual service is a wonderful thing, and this is a very necessary thing. But taking support to build yourself up, it's not healthy at all. So this, I have to be very careful of the alokic social. You know, the lokic social we know of, but sometimes within the family too, you know, there may be sometimes, it's not friendship, it's something else. And so it doesn't work, you know. Things that are not quite true in time do not work, do not function. And so this is what sometimes you find people that are very good friends, after a few years they don't want to see each other. Or something goes wrong. Because it was from the beginning not spiritual. It was more social. It was more personal need. And too much of an emphasis on personal need. God was not in between. And so from the palokic, yes, the alokic. The alokic, yeah, it is the service stage, the angel. Baba spoke about it this morning, the aviet stage. To be able to catch the thoughts of others, it's a very active stage. It's a lot of movement of mind and feelings. And, of course, it begins from the palokic, you know. If I am, you know, positioned properly in the palokic, the non-physical, the non-time, the non-personality, but just the original, then I can come into the alokic. And the alokic, you know, like the body, the alokic body of light, like the lokic body, it grows, you know. So, the deeper I am in purity, the more that alokic body of light shines. And this is why shining is also number wise. This depends on the purity, and the purity depends on the connection with the original father, the original self. And in the alokic, the vision is very, you know, it's a vision of equality and tuning in to the other soul, tuning into their higher form, the angelic that they have, that they are. But especially it is this egoless stage. Yeah? Because with, you know, if there's ego, there can't be angelic service. And Baba spoke about this. Baba has said, remember, whatever gift you get from God, never pollute it with the word my. Minus, you know, a talent. Service itself. Service is something that was given by Baba. It's not that I dreamed about it. And maybe if Baba didn't tell us about service, who would care? We just were with one or two or three people, and that was life. Baba opens the horizons of our consciousness. He introduces us to a more universal sense of belonging, a much bigger family, rather than just being with one or two or three people. So the alokic stage is the stage of, you know, it's a stage of spiritual generosity. It's a stage of being very universal in one's approach. It's the angel becomes, like Baba, the parent, or let's say the brother of the tree, and including all of the souls. And in the alokic stage, there's a very clear discernment. The intellect is clear. As the soul, I the soul, become master of my mind, I'm able to make my thoughts incorporeal. The soul becomes the master of its own intellect. That is, the arrogance, the ego is melted away. Then there's clarity. And in that clarity, discernment, because one still has to discern. But discernment doesn't become judgment. Because this is the problem sometimes. As we discern, we start to go into too much expansion. And so, you know, with judgment, then there's a lot of criticisms. Usually criticism and judgment is, underlying that is, I know better. Usually the main reason you criticize others, isn't it this? I know better, or I know what should be, what something should be like. And so in the alokic stage, the intellect is tuned in to Baba, and it's tuned in to the needs, but it is, because the soul is not influenced by any need of its own, then it's able to fulfill those needs in a very spiritual way. How do you fulfill the needs of others in a spiritual way? You don't make them, they don't feel obliged to you. I'm just an instrument. The more incognito one is, the more cognito God is, then there are none of these threads that pull pull relationships down. And so not to be in this consciousness, not the intellect working with, you know, judging or saving. You know, also sometimes people, I think I have to save people. No, I don't have to do this. And sometimes when people have this strong need, you know, to help very strongly or to save, it's usually, again, a projection of their own deep need, the deep need to be needed. The need, deep need to be recognized for the work they are doing. God is doing. I'm watching. Then this preserves the purity, the right intention in the task. An angel has to be very, very loyal and very selfless in carrying out Baba's task of benefit and upliftment. Its own personality doesn't get in the way. Because when there's this consciousness of instrument, of course there's the feeling Baba is doing, Kavan Karavan Har. You know, I'm watching what he's doing. Of course the instrument though has to be very clean, otherwise if there's any dust or blocks there, then the musician cannot play properly. It won't come out right, the tune. And in that stage of really being the Father's instrument, the soul feels, you know, very, very, very liberated, because there's no subtle thread to the result of the action. You know, and it's a big liberation, this, because if I'm in any way focused on the result of an action, it also is showing that there is some desire and pulling towards me. Yeah? When the soul has this consciousness of just being Nimit, then not only does it feel liberation without any afterthoughts, it also feels great and deep contentment. It's like it's found its destiny. And deeply from its heart it wants that, yes, the Father is known, the Father's task is known, because only that at this moment is going to bring souls a genuine benefit. Only if they know the benevolence of Baba, because usually they don't. They don't know. So the instrument soul is the happiness lies in that. Not what is done, not in result, but in the fact that God is doing through the soul. It's a great experience, it's a great happiness. Great sense of fulfillment. And in the alaukik stage, we do have thoughts, but nothing unnecessary. Natural limits. There are natural limits. I don't have to think, oh, now I have to be sweet, now I have to be detached, now I have to be this. You know, it comes very naturally. And understanding just clicks in. What people call intuition. Because the intellect is very clear. It intuits. Baba said this morning, catching the thoughts. But there's no colouring of ego involved. And again, this, the alaukik is, as we said before, it's connected to the paralaukik stage. Because what sustains the angelic consciousness is constant connection and the feeling of being moved by the Father. Because if that starts to reduce, and it can in very subtle ways, then the soul will start to feel the burden of responsibility. It will start to feel a hopelessness that things don't go right or work in a certain way. But if every day I, the soul, am connecting with my angelic destiny and my Parlokic father. And my angelic father also, Brahma Baba, is there. Brahma Baba is also the blueprint as well. If there's this daily connection, and again, not just like, not like a bhagat, but really it's a relationship and friendship. Because when Baba speaks of the combined form, it means a friendship. It doesn't mean I just sit and just wait for the power to come in or hope some power will come in. It's more respectful. It's very deeply friendly. And so then the responsibility that one feels is to the brother souls, sister souls that are everywhere, and they need this introduction of the Father. And the introduction, you know, it not necessarily always has to be verbal, but it's through the eyes and the face and the aura of remembrance. You know, angels never have to say to people, I am an angel, or I am pure, or I am this. They are, and it's the vibration gives the message. Actually, when somebody really is something, they don't have to say it. I mean, it's quite evident. Somebody may say, I am happy, I am pure, but it's evident also sometimes in behavior or from the face that they are not. You know, the face will show fluctuation. It'll be sometimes very tight, very tense. Wasteful thoughts create moodiness and gloominess, you know. And helplessness also. Helpless. But the mind will do this, but I, the soul, have to always not allow it to go further. And in the alokic, the intellect, is because it's clear, deeply recognizes a wasteful thought coming. Because they will come. It's not that wasteful thoughts don't come. But they're able to see it from a distance and, you know, stop it. Of course, gradually, it doesn't even have to do that. But at the moment, I'm sure we're all in that process. And then when the alokic and parlokic is deeply combined, then it can work very well. The lokic, you know, the deity. A deity soul is in the lokic world. A deity soul is in a body. A deity soul is in time. A deity soul is in relationships with others. A deity soul is fully in the world of matter with no connection with God. But how do we emerge this consciousness now, you know? Usually, you know, in silence, the memory track, if I go back in my memory track, it emerges. Like, think of Brahma Baba. Always in front of him was his last, in the cycle, was his last birth and his first birth. The angel Brahma and Krishna. These were, because usually our most powerful births are that. The end, the beginning and the end births are usually the, you know, very powerful ones, aren't they? So Brahma Baba, you know, he would see his form of Krishna, he would feel it, he would know it, and so would others see it. So the golden age of life became very clear in him. He knew what he was aiming for. So it's the same way with us. Sometimes Baba says people should see your angelic form, but also your deity form. And the deity form is simply the clean sanskaras of being a true human being. And that's when the virtues are no longer efforts. They are simply expressed as a state of being. Whether it's love, whether it's sweetness. There's no intensity in emotions, but there's a pure state of being. And of course there are many virtues that in the deity stage we don't need, that we need now as students. But only when at this particular time, when I, the soul, become the master of the Parlaukik, the master of the Alaukik, then I am able to start to experience that deity stage. The deity stage, there is no stress. No stress of effort. And Maya, what is it? It's never heard of it. To dislike. To have animosity. Don't know what that means. To compare, to compete, to feel humiliated, to feel low, to feel high, to feel this. Never heard of it. Belongs to another. It's prehistoric, you know. Older than the dinosaurs. It's very prehistoric. It doesn't belong to me. So this is when the deity sanskars start to become a reality and not just something I hear in the muli, then, you know, all these other things start to become very, very distant. Very distant. And then I understand what Baba is saying, have the intoxication of the father's inheritance. Because the father's inheritance is to have a whole life, a happy life. And in the Muli Baba saying, to have the intoxication of mastership. The mastership of the self and the mastership of the father's treasures. The father's treasure, first of all, is himself. But then all the sanskaras that he gives, his sanskar, purity, peace, happiness, the kingdom, yeah? The kingdom of gold and silver age, it's totally natural. No processed things there, either spiritual or physical. Yeah. It's then when we lose that, then the copper age then begins again the search for the natural. Fast, because he said time is moving fast. And the scenes of the end, you know, now they're little games, they're going to be big games. What am I going to do? Rather, how am I going to be, you know? How is Baba going to use the soul to cooperate with giving benefit or giving hope or giving peace, both to nature, to matter, and to other souls? How am I going to be? And that will depend on the stability of the purity. Uninfluenced, immune. Not to be pulled in any way. But that's, you know, requires an attention now. You know, it's something one builds up. It's not just something that's just going to happen. And to watch the thoughts, because thoughts is big energy. We tell other people this. But sometimes, you know, we tend to forget. So what am I building up in my mind? You know, like we said before, that if I'm a critic, for example, if I'm a critical person, you know, I will build up bad visions. My visions will not be good of other people. I have to get rid of this attachment to I know. This is the big attachment. Attachment to being very opinionated with things. The only thing I need to be very connected with knowing is I'm a soul and who my father is. And then the practice of what he's telling me. Because it is a reality now. The old world is finishing, you know. I mean, and this means that God's task has to be revealed, and God's task is to remove the sorrow that souls are going to feel when things just don't function anymore completely. Now they don't function so well. And sometimes, you know, this exercise of what will I be like at that moment? And Baba once said this in Amuli. He said, will you be souls who will be giving mercy, giving blessings, or you will be souls at that time who will be asking still for something? Right? Sometimes when you play these scenarios in your own mind, you know, then the intellect is able to see very clearly. The intellect is able to go very deep. Okay, I'm getting disturbed by this person. I'm still reacting in this way. How practical is my purity? Purity has to be practical too. It's not just a nice idea. How practical is it? And how true do I want it to be? What changes am I prepared to make? And not just for my own self. I mean, you know, it's much bigger. I mean, when the heart is unlimited, you know, Maya cannot sit in it. If I'm thinking only of my peace and my this and my that, my effort, and then I get lost in my world of effort. The bigger the heart, the smaller Maya becomes. And the more cooperative, of course, Bab Dada becomes. So, in one way, you know, to be paralokic, alokic, and serve in the lokic, I have to open my mind and heart to the bigger picture, to the bigger world. So, these are just some thoughts. I was thinking now, if you wish to ask any questions, there's time to ask some questions on some of these things of purity or anything connected with Baba's last muli, because that was mainly about purity anyway. Was all that clear? Well, I can't hear you actually very well. Can you just the phrase, which phrase was it? Ah, yes, I know a better phrase, yes. That's right, yes. Big intoxication. But they're so connected, I don't think you can really separate it, you know? You know, Maya is very intoxicating in any way it comes. Whether it's I know, and there's, you know, you pump yourself up, you know, I know. Yeah? It's a way of trying to give value to the self or a kind of respect. Yeah? Like people get very intoxicated with the thought, oh, I own, whether it's it can be a person, whatever, you know, this feeling of security, of being something, someone, because I own this or I have that. And this is always where the soul gets caught, because it has had a lot of intoxications through Maya. The thing is, of course, the I know one is more subtle. It doesn't seem so bad. But I can tell it's bad if I start to become judgmental and critical of other people. Well, you know, that's the standard, I can tell. Okay. It's good to know. I mean, I'm happy that I know God. I'm happy that I know I'm a soul. I'm happy to know about the cycle. It's a wonderful intoxication. But it doesn't produce a negative feeling against others. I feel I'm superior and I have a vision of inferiority towards others. That's the difference, because in false intoxication there's always this feeling of superiority. There's not. Whereas spiritual intoxication, there's contentment and the feeling of inclusiveness and equality much more. And also when I get very attached to my own ideas and feel intoxicated, the type of focus that comes from that is that it creates a very deep rigidity, you know, and a non-listening attitude. I don't. Or it's just, you know, I listen, but just, you know, as a duty, not that my ears are really opened. Because now over-focus is as dangerous as being under-focused. And let's see, it depends on people's personality. For example, a person who is has quite strong intellect, has organizational capabilities, they tend to get into this thing of being very over-organized. Everything to a T. Huh? Which, you know, it is a good quality, but any good quality, if it's taken to an extreme, it's not functional anymore. And so when there's a thing to know that I know, and I, you know, like I'm making things happen, there's like no space for Baba to get in. I used to wonder this, those things sometimes. I used to notice that the more traditional places, the more spiritual, the most disorganized. And I used to think, why is that? Well, that's not the reason, actually. but when there's less control by a human intellect, it's like there's more of a window for Baba or something else to come in, you know? Yes, it's about, I don't know if anyone heard the question, but about it's ego to say I have to purify, and also about the roles already being there and how to harmonize with the drama. You know, always, really, I always have to live today. Eh? And one thing that we become aware of as we live today, on any level that is, even on a spiritual path, you know, it's always, you know, the today that, you know, I can change the effects of yesterday if I'm fully aware. And I have to position myself properly in order to be purified, because, you know, it's a partnership with Baba, and it is Baba who has made me aware that I need purity. It's Baba who has made me aware I'm a soul. It's Baba who has made me aware that he is there. It's Baba who has made me aware that he's available and cooperative. And so I have to position my mind and my heart in such a way that I'm able to receive that. But this inner positioning, you know, it does require, you know, that gradually, if I can't do it straight away, you know, let go of so. It's not just ego, actually. It can be quite a few other things as well. But this is why, practically, this has to be done on a daily basis. I may hear this knowledge, yes, I'm a soul, you know, Baba's purifying you, just, you know, surrender yourself. I hear it, I accept it. But, you know, it only when I live it on a daily basis, then I start to experience that reality of purification. And you become aware also that, you know, I am creating my role. I am creating those sanskaras that I'm creating at this moment is going to determine the quality of the role that the soul is given, that the soul has. So I think at this particular time it's very important to be conscious of the fact that, you know, now I am creating. Now, you know, Baba is the one who is giving the soul the method, the aim, and the companionship today. Yeah? And so I'm not at the mercy of the drama. I mean, I can't control external situations, but internally, I have to be fully in control. I can't be fully in control outside. But internally, my thoughts, are they seated okay? Are they wandering? So then I realize I have to cooperate in Baba's purification of me. He can't just do it just like that. Although I have to position myself and receive, I have to use my intellect. I have to be following things of Srimad. It won't just happen. Like with any creation, it always takes a partnership of two or three. It can't be just one. You know, Baba can't by himself. If he could by himself, then why would he need Brahma or Mama or whatever? So I harmonize into the drama in the sense that the drama is my teacher. Whether it's through the other actors or through situations, it'll be it can be through negativity, it can be through positivity as well. So I harmonize to the point that I'm working from the inside. I'm working from inside. And I'm not just depending or relying on the outside, either for happiness or inspiration, or blaming the outside for sorrow. Yes? How did I learn? Can you say it again, Lucy? Yeah? Oh, how to learn to step into the parlokic stage. Just by doing it. Not too many questions, not too much analysis. The knowledge is there, do it, you know. And Baba pulls you also. I mean, Baba will pull you. And you see that first lesson, Om, you know, Om Shanti. I am a peaceful soul, you know. Parlokik, you know, I the soul in the home. And if I say that, if I think that, and I feel that, very slowly and deeply to myself, with lots of faith, the consciousness shifts. It does shift. Because when things are in turmoil, if I can step into that soul conscious stage, that parlokic stage, you know, that peace settles things. It's very practical, eh? It's a very, very practical piece of information given by Baba to us. It's the reality of the self also. So by doing it, then I start to experience it. Very important sometimes to get away from analysis, too much analysis, and too much comparing with past information, or you know, some people are very obsessed with processing everything. You know, you've got to sometimes just leave things alone, be simple, connect. I am there. You know, what is the thought? Just yeah, I am Om Shanti. I'm a peaceful soul, but also I am there, or I am here with you. You know, speak to Baba in the second person. Not always in the third person. That's big difference. It makes a difference. And it's like, you know, what we were saying before, a person who's very organizing, sometimes very controlling, nothing can come in. The same way, if my mind has too many thoughts, my intellect has too much analysis, then, you know, that subtle power can't come in. Can't come in. I've just got to, you know, have that knowledge, believe it, say something to myself, think it deeply, and then just be there. Now, at another time I can churn or reflect, but at that point of deep meditation, it's not the time to go into processes of thinking. Yes. About pure dreams. About pure dreams. They're pure, yeah. No, what? How to? Yes. Yeah. That's true. I think we it's very realistic about where we are now, and that actually it's a very deep refining and cleansing and polishing that is happening in the soul at very deep levels. And so yes, there is a purity in the conscious. There can, there is a purity than things, even a pure way of thinking, a pure way of seeing things. But sometimes there can be an impure dream because, something has been moved that was never moved before. It was just there all the time. But now it's being moved in order to come, in order to leave. And so it can't come through the senses anymore because the intellect is quite determined, the mind is working on another level. So sometimes these last things, the way they express is, they can express through dreams, but then they go. The main thing is not to, always the main thing is not to have fear and not to identify. There are some key things that always help us to maintain a self-respect and a purity. There are some key, we can call them virtues, we can call them practices. And, for example, like really being detached, if I'm, I automatically become the observer. And that frees me from a lot of things. It creates a big stability inside. To the people that are detached, they're not running on emotions, because some people are running a lot on emotions, and they feel they have to have emotions if they feel that they exist, But when we're speaking of sanskaras, the eternal sanskara, it's pure feelings, of course, but it's not this sort of intensity that fluctuates. And sometimes, so to return back to that original personality, certain things do happen, but this is why I have to become an observer. Things are being cleaned out. And a deep faith in that, a deep faith in that I am being cleaned out. Because, quite a few thousand years of some interesting habits that we have had, they're not going to go away just like that because I don't want them anymore. I may not want them consciously, but inside, what's wrong with them? There's this and why this is okay. So never to have fear, never to identify, and not to worry, also another one. Not to worry. Trust God, really. Trust the Father. Then I won't have worries about things. Meditation. Okay, they heard you before I answered anything. So, I'll just say a few words, but many of you know how to meditate. Okay, some announcement before self as a point of light. My true form. I am aware of my original, eternal, true form. I, the soul. And as I go deeper, I remember what I am. I am free. I am liberated. I am pure. I am peaceful. I am silent, still. Om Shanti. I am a soul, eternally pure, peaceful. Very still. I go deeper and deeper into this original consciousness of the self. I know, I believe what I am originally. Peaceful, free, detached, and with one thought, I arrive in my eternal home. Home. The Parlokic home. The world of liberation. The world of supreme peace. Here, from here, I began my journey to the earth. I've come back. The end of time, I come back to my Parlokic home. Home full of sweetness. Home full of light. And here I am, just a point. Just a point. Of complete peace, complete spiritual peace. And in my home, I see my father, the Parlokic father. Baba, I am here with you, the Eternal One, the Pure One. I am here with you. I feel the flow of your purity and peace, of your love, go deep into me. Baba, I am your eternal child, your eternal friend. I remember you. I remember myself. I remember the eternity of this friendship, of this relationship. It's forever, and it's now. this moment, in this thought, we become one, united. Your love, your peace, your silence, make me remember who I am. Baba, your love, your purity is natural, clean, and as I receive, I feel being liberated. I remember my original freedom. Let me stay here with you in the Parlokic home with the Parlokic family of souls, my brothers and Father. Let me stay here with you, the Parlokic Father, Mother, and friend, always the truth, always with me, the soul. Your light, your peace, your love, are deep within me, your child, your student, your friend. Everything is silent. Everything is full. Now, there are no thoughts. I am just absorbed in you, the Parlokic one. Here with you, full of light, full of purity, full of newness, love, and peace. Still.